everybody. It's exciting to be here today. Oh, I feel like they're about to create a groove back there. Well, what a day it is to celebrate mums and nanas and grandmothers and spiritual mamas and just the way that they love and live their lives and bless us. And it's a great day to celebrate and it's a great day to be here. And I am a new face up here, so I do realise that some of you might not know me. If I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you yet, my name's Bev, and my husband Jeff down the front here, and I've been married almost 25 years. We have five beautiful children now. We have three that I gave birth to, yeah, and we have two beautiful sons and daughters in love as well. So, and we have now a grandbaby as well. So I'm super excited. He's just turned one. Little Byron's in here right now. And so my name is not Nana or grandmother. I'm Nini. And it's actually Chinese. It's called Nai Nai. It's pronounced officially, which the kids find hilarious because we don't have any Chinese heritage at all. But I love it. And so we've just put a little spin on it and I'm Nini. So, and Byron can say my name. He's been saying it all morning. Nini, yay, super excited about that. So since I am new up here, I thought it'd be actually good to share something personal about myself that maybe many of you, including my own kids, might not know, which is always exciting. some people want to know. So back in 2010, I started writing a book slash journal, mainly for myself and my family. I don't think it was ever going to be a bestseller, to be honest. It's just about my life. And I called it 365 Days, My Search for the Divine in the Everyday. And essentially, it was just that, 365 days, one page a day. And, you know, the cool part is that many of you who were in the church in 2010, I'm looking at Ricky and Susan, Dean, there's a few others here, were actually the stars of its pages. So I just used to like write stories about you guys as well, basically. So I'm sure you'd love to read it. But I managed to find in the filing cabinet 47 days I'd actually printed out. So I thought I might just read day one to you today. This is actually from the 9th of May 2010. So it's almost 12 years to the day tomorrow. This is what it says. At the end of April, amidst the emotion of Easter, I told my husband, Jeff, that May would be the month of finishing things around our house. I felt the words of Pastor Brad's Easter service ringing in my ears when he hung upon the cross. Jesus cried out, "It is finished." I know he was talking about something much more profound, but I found myself thinking about this literally. You see, I'm really good at starting things. I've got a half-painted back fence, a half-painted gate, one bar stool cover finished. I've got a pile of sewing, half-finished, a few pages of a business plan, and many songs I've started to write, but that are as yet not finished. I've got other stools, outdoor settings of furniture in stages of restoration, all regrettably unfinished. So May was the month of it is finished. And even though I have decided I would like to make a quilt this winter, I'm putting it off because I want to finish something first. That was until today, Mother's Day, Sunday 9th of May, when I decided to write this and start something new. 365 days, just stretched out a year before me, yet to be charted, a year of faith and trust. Where will God lead me, my husband and our family? Whose paths will cross ours and change our lives forever? So often our days go by, they come and they go. Sometimes they're forgotten forever. Others are remembered, but they are our lives nonetheless, and they mean something to our Heavenly Father. So here I am at the start. It's like the smell of fresh stationery at the beginning of a school year, except in this case, we're starting in the middle on Mother's Day. I think something special is going to happen this year because I've decided to write about it. I think because I'll be looking and watching, trying to listen and paying more attention, that I might just see something I would have missed otherwise. It's exciting. Happy Mother's Day to the beautiful mums out there and to my mum in Melbourne. I miss you, Mum. And when I read this the other day, I just knew straight away I did actually want to share it because it's exactly what today's about, which is an encouragement for you that something truly special awaits. Something special is ahead and a challenge to try something new. It's a bit like the New Year's feels, except right here in the middle of the year on Mother's Day. And God's always doing something new, right? He doesn't need the 1st of January to do something new. We can get expectant, and maybe some of your mum knows how that feels to be expectant. Day 31 of the book spoke about my insatiable love of chairs. I'm not sure if you've ever seen the movie Phenomenon, but it's an old classic, 1996. It's going back a fair way, even before we actually met, I think. And it's got John Travolta is the star, and he's a his main character. His name's George Malley, and he's a mechanic that has a crush on the local single mum called Lace. He sells her handmade chairs in his mechanic shop, and she just keeps bringing them in, and he just keeps selling them. But he's not actually selling them. He's piling them up at his house because he likes her. So she keeps bringing in the chairs and he just keeps like piling them up at his house saying, oh yeah, they're selling like hotcakes. You know, bring me more. So she keeps rocking up with their ute full of chairs. And she's like, this is great. They're selling so well. You know, she's thrilled. And a local doctor and George's long-term friend comments that every woman has her chairs. And if you really love someone, you've got to find out what their chairs are and invest in them. I think that's actually some wise words there for the men in the room. Find out what your woman's chairs are and invest in them. So George was doing that. But later in the movie, she actually visits his house. And she peeks in the window and sees all the chairs. They're cane chairs all piled up on top of each other. And they're not just inside every room of the house. They're all down the deck as well. And poor George, all he can say, he's gobsmacked. And all he can reply is, I love those chairs, Lace. I love those chairs. And it turns out he's not the only one that loves chairs. I do too, and that hasn't changed since 2010. Jeff can testify, the kids can testify to the amount of chairs, armchairs, sofas, recliners, lounges, sun lounges that have come across our doorstep. And I'm actually not kidding. There has been hundreds and hundreds. And now I get to stack them up on shelves and pull them in out of houses for a living because we do styling, and that makes me really happy. I still pick them up off of the side of the road for restoration purposes, of course. And I believe you can never have enough. And Jeff just smiles now and says, love those chairs, Lace. He knows. So what is it about chairs that's so appealing? Well, I think it's the friendliness of them. They just invite you in. You just come sit with me. Come sit for a while. Take a load off. Rest. The more you have, the more people you can seat and invite in, and hence exactly why we're going to smack that wall out this afternoon. Please sign up for the Quick Fit if you haven't already. Little plug in there for you, Azumi. And they're just friendly, aren't they? And if you sit down together with a friend, it generally means you're going to have a chat or share or rest your legs and enjoy some peace and stillness together for a while. You may have noticed a few chairs scattered around the building. We've got a couple behind me, and there's little different kinds of chairs just scattered, and they're in sets of twos around the place. And thank you to the design team who did that. It looks absolutely beautiful. And I hope you do take the time, like Beck said, and just have a photo in the photo booth after the service, because it's just, they've gone to so much trouble. It's absolutely beautiful. And really, what these are a visual. They're a visual of being together, a quiet moment between two parties, a sharing of heart to heart. It's about speaking and listening and something truly beautiful that I want to share with you today. The babies have all gone off. They're resonating. They're resonating. I love it. So a couple of months ago, a book called Two Chairs by Bob Bodine actually came across my path through a prayer ministry for businesses. And it's an easy read, or an easy listen, in fact. And I actually listened to it. So I downloaded it and just listened to it on my morning walks and just listened to it at home. And we also have copies to give away at the end of the service, and they're in the bookcase in the Next Step area behind the lounge, which I've so wanted to say that forever. We've never actually had a bookcase and a lounge in our midst in the Next Steps area, but it's pretty cool. And it's very comfortable too, so you must go there and get a book after the service. So, yeah, two chairs, it's a very personal thing. I'm not going to do a book review this morning. I'm really just going to share from my heart about what this book, how it impacted me. And what it actually means. So it is very personal and you really need to experience it for yourself. But the idea is very simple. So every day or whenever you want to, you set up or find two chairs and you invite God to join you in one and you sit in the other. You just sit down and say, hey God, I'm here and You come for a conversation with him. The concept is really simple, but very, very powerful. I found the journey to get into the chairs was actually just as important for me, as it helped me to focus on intentional relationship with God. And the setting up of chairs was, for me, a place of preparation. So Jeff and I have just got back from a little holiday where we celebrated early our 25 years of marriage and our wedding anniversary. Yeah! Woohoo! Well, he's happy about it. No. We were just reflecting, and I've been reflecting on how after 25 years, we're very comfortable with each other and we feel safe and we sometimes finish each other's sentences. Sometimes we'll be thinking the same thing at exactly the same time and we just think it's so amazing, the oneness. But I must say we do perhaps don't woo each other like we used to when we're first dating. There's not as much perhaps intentionality about that. And we don't want to get blasé about our relationship. We don't want to take for granted the closeness and intimacy that we have. And even after a long time, it's good to keep things fresh, right? Yeah. And make time for each other and discover something new. And for me, it's actually been, this two chairs experience has been a bit like that with God. Because I've been a follower of Jesus for 30 years. And although I feel comfortable and safe with him, trying two chairs was just, for me, like a new way of experiencing knowing him. It's about keeping it fresh. It's about discovering something new. And our Lord and Saviour is one who deeply desires to speak to us. This is something that's just been, like, I've always known he wants to speak to us, but this is something that has really opened up for me. So setting up the two chairs is like, for me, an intentional date with God. You prepare yourself and then you come and you sit and be with him. And sometimes I make a cup of tea and sometimes I come with a question or an idea that I want to talk to God about, just like I would a friend. Hey, I want to talk about this thing with my business or with my family. What's going on? And you can ask questions. You can ask the hard questions. But then you listen. And for someone like me who's a talker, and if you know me, you will know this. Yep, Jeff's nodding, yep. This was and still is actually a big learning curve for me. Because the idea is that you need to do less talking. And God does more talking. And yes, as a chatterbox, I do find that difficult. John 3:30 says, "He must increase and I must decrease. He who comes from heaven is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth." So that's me. I'm the earthly one in the two chairs thing. And then there's God, who is the heavenly one above all. And being above all means his perspective is different to mine and to ours. He sees the bigger picture. He wants to share this perspective with us in two chairs. He has great and wonderful plans for our lives, but to know these, we need to lean in and listen for what they are. And thank you, God, for your patience with me, because this is very much still a learning curve. The first few weeks of doing this, I actually felt God had a reoccurring theme for me, because I felt him over and over just say, just rest. Rest here with me. I've got it. And I was like, okay, that's good. Anything else? Can tell me something exciting now? Just rest. And I realized that that was what he needed me to do. Psalm 139:1-4 says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." He already knows everything on your mind. Imagine going on a date and sitting down opposite someone you've never dated before and they know everything on your mind. Wow, that could be embarrassing. I would find that very embarrassing. Honestly, maybe that's why at first I actually avoided doing this for a few days. Maybe I was afraid of what God would have to say, knowing what he knows. And then there's the way it all looks. I love the idea of sitting down with God, But being a stylist by trade now, I wanted to style up the space and make it all pretty and feel special and ready. So I'm thinking, oh, I'll go out and buy some chairs, you know, and I'll, you know, make it all beautiful in our bedroom and like move all that stuff and put that there. And, you know, that's what I'll do. And honestly, I just was procrastinating. And maybe that's why I've literally got nothing done in those 12 years. Or 12 years ago, I should say. And so I had a million questions and thoughts. I was asking loads of questions before I even got to the chairs. I'm saying, God, can we do this thing lying down on the pillows like this? Can we like do pillow talk instead? Do we even need a chair? I talk to you in the shower and the toilet. So can we just, do we have to sit down? I mean, you're everywhere. And I hope I'm not the only one that thinks like this, because these kind of questions, like, we do resonate with these, right? And I felt God wanted me to keep reading the book. And as I read, I realized that this is actually about preparation. It's actually about intentionality. So if I'm just lying on my pillow, maybe that's, good morning, I can do that, absolutely. You can talk to God anywhere. But this was like me intentionally leaning in to listen. So I felt God wanted me to keep reading, and one morning I was up, dressed and ready, and I just thought, right, that's it. I can't wait anymore. I can't just, you know, God's saying, come talk with me, meet in the two chairs, and here I am waffling around. So I just marched towards our dining table and I just swung out one chair for him and one for me, sat down, and I just said, hello, God. And what followed was quite remarkable. I heard him in my mind say, hello, my precious daughter. And what followed was my heart just melting instantly. It brought me to tears, honestly. I was absolutely overwhelmed by his presence. That the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth, would want to sit with me at my dining table and have a chat. It's overwhelming. And yet he does. And I just felt I could only whisper in that moment, I'm sorry it's taken me so long. But all I could feel was love. And even now, I feel him here. I feel him encouraging me. And it was different to my prayer times. It was a heart-to-heart conversation, these two chairs. It's just been so deeply impacting for me that that's why I wanted to share it. And I have been sharing it with many in this room already. Every time I speak about it, it's like a refreshing of a relationship with someone that you love, like I mentioned earlier with Jeff. It's the idea of listening for his heart for us lines up so beautifully with Azenbeck's feeling it right back at the beginning of the year. It's just simple. Follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. This is just one way that we can do that. Follow me, sorry, is the series. How can we follow if we're unsure of the way to go? Well, we need to hear from him. So let's go. Let's do it. I'm going to come sit back in this chair here. And I really felt at the first service that this one was just a little bit too far away. I need to come in a bit closer here. Don't worry about the rug, right? Don't worry about the rug. But it's as simple as this. Just sit down with God. Good morning, Lord. Maybe in that moment you even just heard him just say something to you in your mind. Good morning. Back. Maybe you just heard him say good morning to you. The most amazing thing about this is that I was so surprised the first time I did this. I actually did hear something in my mind. I actually did hear him say, you know, good morning, my beautiful daughter, and hello. And I was like, was that, did I imagine that? Like, is that my mind? But let me tell you, it's highly personal and it may look different for everyone. I bet you can't wait to go home and try this now. I really hope you do. It's going to be great. We do know that hearing from God is good for us, right? Yeah. But somehow today, I just feel that's become harder. If you're a mum sitting here today, you will know this even more. Little voices calling out to you, places to be, chores to do, questions to answer, background noise, mouths to feed, family to love, places to serve, community to connect with, finances to manage. And if you're a working mum or you're running your own business, there's a whole other layer again on top of that. And we can just feel stretched to our limits at times. And we need help. And in these moments, God loves to call us into the two chairs with him so he can give us his perspective. And you know what? Just a moment doesn't even need to be long. Away from the demands, the noise, the pressures, and even if those are still going on in the room next door, you can just draw away just for a moment. And he can renew your mind, revive our spirits, refocus our attention back onto his will and his ways. Paul understood how the pressures of the world can cause us to lose our focus. In Romans 12:2, he said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And in Isaiah 55:8-9, we read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." His ways really are higher than ours. Stepping aside with God, I've realized it helps me to be a more healthy follower of Jesus, a more healthy family member, a more healthy parent, and a more healthy business person as well. Getting away will produce great dividends in the future. I love that statement. If you're financially wired, just remember that one. Getting away with God will produce great dividends in the future. The mornings are a great way to start the day with two chairs, but the reality is, for us in our household, it's also a super busy time, especially school mornings when we're trying to get Oliver out the door, lunch is made, everything sorted for work, everything sorted for school. And one morning towards the end of last term, I was shouting down the hallway, "Come on! Come on, Oliver, we got to go." And our youngest, Oliver, who's just turned 10 or is 10 now, he walked into the kitchen, and he pulls out a bar stool. And then he pulls out another one and he just says to me, "Come on, Mum, it's time for your two chairs with Jesus." And I knew I couldn't then and there or we'd be late for school. But I don't think I'll forget that morning. I said this, "No, Oliver, I'll do the two chairs with Jesus when I want to, not when you want me to." That's real, right? But my heart just went crack. It just went crack. I could feel it. I mean, what's more important? What a moment he was encouraging me with. And I missed it. He'd been watching and he had seen how it made me calmer and less stressed. And he just wanted to do what he thought would help in that moment. Our children are always watching and so much more is caught than is taught. Even Oliver, my 10-year-old, knew that a moment spent in two chairs with God was a good thing. And I'm becoming aware now of two chairs moments everywhere. Like including at home, in my car. I was saying in the first service, I sometimes just reach out and kind of hold his hand. I just feel like it's just there as I'm driving. Maybe I'm supposed to have two hands on the wheel. Don't tell anyone. Sharing a park bench at the kitchen table, in the warehouse. Like I said, there's no lack of chairs there. In the office, at a cafe, in the doctor's waiting rooms. I've even asked if I could sit on his lap. I'm not really sure what he said. I didn't really get an answer there. Just swizz through. And it was in the two chairs recently at the dentist, actually, and I was lying on my back in one chair and I felt God was in the parents' chair, sort of in the corner. And I couldn't say much at that point because I was having a cavity filled, so my mouth was wide open filled with cotton wool. And I said, "All right, God," in my mind, I just said, "All right, God, what do you want to say on Mother's Day?" And I felt him say, "Truth." Not tooth, as Jeff suggested, perhaps I'd heard. Because I had the cotton wool balls in my mouth, not God. Why truth? Because he knows it will set us free. He wants his voice to cut through the smoke screen of the enemy's lies. And his truth and life are going to go into the very core of our being, and oh my, his truth is good. Proverbs 2:6 says, "The Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." And how much more in 2022 do we need right now knowledge and understanding? I bet we could all think of one area of our lives that we crave this knowledge and understanding and the voice of God to speak his truth over a situation or circumstance perhaps that we're experiencing right now. In John 17:17, Jesus was praying to the Father and he said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." And John 8:31-47 is Jesus speaking to the Jews and he says, "If you hold on to my teaching and you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free." There's a big passage of scripture there where they're really, the people at the time are basically saying, well, we're Abraham's descendants, and Jesus has talked to them about their hearts, and I won't read all of it right now, but go home and have a read. But at the end, it says, he says, "I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." And this passage, Jesus was calling out the things of their heart, which were actually to kill him. They wanted to kill him and they were saying, no, we only hear from God. And he was questioning them and he said, and even though Jesus had a life of perfection and nothing could, they couldn't bring anything against him, and they were refusing to accept anything they did not want to hear. And honestly, in that verse, I just really wanted to grab the first part, which is, "You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free." But as I read on, I really loved what Jesus said. He said, "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says." Truth number one this morning is you belong to God, and therefore you can hear what he says. Knowing this truth in my times in the two chairs has just been so powerful, because if I belong to him, then I can hear what he says. This is what the word has said. And even if you just walked in here today for the first time and you have never heard about God, you can be assured, you can be filled with assurance and confidence that you belong to him, not in a possessive, "you're mine, you have to do what I say" kind of way, but in a loving, gentle, loving way. You belong to me. You're my sons and daughters. He created your innermost being and knit you together in your mother's womb. That's what the word tells us. The Bible here tells us that in Psalm 139. And on this Mother's Day, that's the women who've given birth would understand about this, the knitting together in the womb. In Romans 1:6, Paul greets the church in Rome, and we can imagine he's greeting us today by saying, "Including you who are called to belong to Christ Jesus." Including you. Including you. All of the scriptures in the Bible testify to the point and the fact that we are called to belong to Christ Jesus. God's original plan for man was to walk in relationship with him, walking in the garden, belonging to him as children. And there's an intimacy, and that was always part of his original design for our relationship with him. And then that relationship became fractured, as we know, through sin. But even still, he created a plan to lead us back into that intimate relationship through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, who stood in the gap and said, "Your sins are forgiven." He took the heavy weight of sin on the cross so that we could be free. This is good news. God was so motivated to bring us back into relationship with him because we are his and we belong to him. And this is ultimately the best truth we can have when we come to our two chairs, because it moves me, and I know it'll move you too, to follow Jesus. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Psalm 121 speaks of our Father. "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from harm, and he will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." As a mom, I know that my sons and daughters are watched over by me, like got the eagle eye on them. Even though there have been times, I will fully admit this, that Jeff and I have both driven home separately, only to get home and realize that we've actually left our children at church. Yep, parenting fail. And this is really embarrassing. It's happened more times than once and to multiple children at once. So this is confession time. So I can say that most of the time, they're closely watched over by me and Jeff. But the Lord says he will watch over your coming and going now and forevermore. He's never sleeping. He's never leaving you and promises to be your shade, protect you from harm and watch over your life forever. This is the God who is seated here today. He's probably seated in amongst here too. He's seated with you today. He wants to draw close to you. And he wants us to draw close to him. There's a chair for everyone from all walks of life to find true belonging in Jesus. If you don't feel you know this Jesus that we're talking about today, there's going to be an opportunity at the end of the service for you to just respond to him. And he loves you so much. And you can experience a sense of belonging like you've never had before. And it's the best thing ever. Truth number two is, he loves you and wants to love others through you. In your two chairs times with God, he will speak the truth of how much he loves you and how much he loves others. But today being Mother's Day, I felt God wanted to talk about how much he loves your children. I once heard it said, the measure of success is how much love is produced. And that simple statement honestly redefined for me in a moment how I wanted my life to look. I just want my life to be a loving one. Can we fully comprehend how much we're actually loved? The creator of the universe loves you intimately, just the way you are. It's overwhelming. I think we should just take a second now and just ask God in his chair up here how much you're loved and just listen for a response. Jesus' goal through his ministry was to reveal the love of God through his love for all people. He taught his disciples, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. And a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. We're loved like this, so we can love like this. And I know mums do this so beautifully. One of my favorite things I receive when listening to God is creative ways to love others. And I shouldn't be surprised by this. So I'll come to two chairs and I'll say, hey God, what do you think I should do about this thing in my business? And then I'm listening and I'll just get this, like I hear it sort of almost like a thought, but I hear in my head. And he'll say something like, you should bring that person. You should make a meal for that couple. You should go fishing with Oliver. And I'm thinking, that's not what I asked, but once again, his ways are higher than my ways, right? So even when I ask these questions, I just know that he will actually answer that question about the business. He cares about that. But he's just teaching me that his priorities are a little different from mine. He still gives wisdom for the other things, and he still answers it, but more often the answers come in unexpected ways. I've found now I'll ask that question, and I just have to leave it with him, drop it in his lap, put it in his hands, leave it on the chair, and just go and get on with my day. And he brings the answers. But it's actually beautiful because they just come in unexpected ways, like I didn't expect. And he does work it out. He's asking me to trust him. Leave it with me. I've got it. And I think you're just going to be amazed at what God can do and how you can hear from him. Isaiah 43:2. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Mums and dads too. God sees every sleepless night, every toddler tantrum, every adolescent hormone. And when you walk through the sometimes deep waters of the teenage years, you might, not saying you will, but you might encounter a few bumps along the way. It was actually for me in these years that I began to fully understand God's love in the most powerful way. These are some things that I learned then. His love never ends and it always wins. Even if we turn away, he never will. He is the one who holds our children's hearts and lives, and we can trust him. He loves without expecting to be loved back. The one who deserves it the least needs it the most. And we've all been lost at some point and can only be found in Christ. I brought my tissues just in case. I found as a mum in these times that I actually needed the faith of other mums who'd walked the road before me. Prayer, support, encouragement, and I just thank those mums. I drew close to my own mum, sisters in the faith, trusted friends, spiritual mums. Thank you to those special ladies. So many of you are actually in this church for your deep love for my family and for me. It will always be in my heart. And a mother's heart is so beautifully wired the way God intended. We are loved so we can love. I've learned that our children need the constant, consistent, I'm not going anywhere. I will never leave you. I forgive you. You can trust me kind of love that God has shown us. It's dripping with grace. And that's the kind of love that shows up at two chairs every time. I hope you're willing to give this a go this week. I think you're going to be completely blessed if you do. Truth number three is we are going to where he is. Knowing this truth of where we're going helps us live our best life now. Two chairs moments are helping me order my days, bringing clarity into what's most important now. God's speaking about where I spend my time and who with and how. And when Jesus spoke of our future in heaven, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. Our future with Jesus is secure. The simple truth of where we're going can help us live our now days with more clarity, more intention, more purpose, and focus on the calling that God has for us as we follow Jesus. But you may have questions, and that's okay, and God knows we do, and even his disciples did. In John 14:5, Thomas, a disciple of Jesus, said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? To which Jesus answered, Thomas, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is the truth. Therefore, to sit with him is to sit with truth itself. He simply cannot speak anything else. Not only that, but he's the life. Jesus is the truth of the resurrection. He is alive and therefore he can speak. A God who's dead has no voice and cannot speak to you, but Jesus is alive. And he has something special he wants to say just for you, just for today. And he wants you to ask those hard questions that you have. If we're going where he is, then we know that we have one life here and then eternity. It's so much fuller living life knowing this. We can actually have a slice of the kingdom right here, right now. Jesus taught us to pray, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Don't take my word for it. Enjoy a moment with God in these two chairs. And in the words of Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great unsearchable things you do not know. I don't know about you, but I absolutely want to know the things I don't know. And we all go through things in life. And for Jeff and I, without Jesus and hearing from God, what to do in those times, I don't know where we would be today. What do you mean, hear God? I can almost hear you say it. Well, I'm pretty sure that God would have more ways to speak to humanity than the hairs on my head. And trust me, there's many. Jeff knows about this. They're all over the bathroom floor. But because we're all uniquely made, he knows how each of us will experience and hear and encounter and understand him. Some ways that you might hear from him are through reading the Bible, listening to a weekend message in your thoughts, in your heart, an idea, perhaps a physical discernment through gaining knowledge, study, dreams, visions, in two chairs. I mean, the list goes on, and I know it's highly personal. For over 30 years, God's had my heart. And I guess the biggest revelation or awakening perhaps for me that I've experienced in this two chairs time with God over these last few months is that he can and he will speak powerfully into my mind and thoughts and therefore into my heart. From speaking to and praying with many in this church and many over the years, one thing is a common thread for humanity, and that is that we've become accustomed to hearing the voice of an accusing, negative, angry, bitter script. And that's the voice of the enemy in our minds. Things like, you could never do that. You're not good enough. You don't belong. You're alone in this. You don't have enough. And maybe even this one, you're not a good mum. When a voice like that comes, I've actually heard it yell or scream in my mind. And not only do we hear this voice, but we're often tricked into believing it, which will have a crippling effect on our faith, relationships, confidence, and our health. Jesus warns us of this. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and kill, rob and destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I always knew that God spoke to me in my thoughts and my mind, but now through the two chairs, the difference is I'm becoming more aware. I'm becoming more aware of his voice. And that voice is more likely to be saying things like, "I love you. You're my beloved. You can do all things through me. I'm never leaving you or forsaking you. I'm the Lord who heals you." And that one's special for me because I've actually had healing over these last few months. As God's spoken to me, "I'm the Lord who heals you." He's healed me of a lung condition that I had. "You're made in my image, so you're a great mum." And one day back in April, I heard, "A company of angels is your rear guard. I will protect you." What an amazing thing to think, to hear before going off to school run. Seriously, we could put on the radio and hear whatever. But I heard, as I sat down with God one morning before school, "A company of angels is your rear guard. I will protect you." And I looked up that scripture because I was so like, what is that about? What is that? And it's from Isaiah 52:12, and I read this, "You won't need to run. No one is chasing you. The Lord God of Israel will lead and protect you from enemy attacks." And in another translation, which is the Voice translation, which I didn't even know existed till I looked it up, "Go in confidence and grace. No rushing, no frantic escape. There's no need to be anxious. The Eternal One goes before you and behind you. The God of Israel paves the way with assurance and strength. He watches your back." Wow. What an encouragement his voice is for us. He watches your back. Maybe you're thinking, how can you know, Bev, that this is the voice of God or your own selfish thoughts? Ha, good question. Because I did think I heard him say the other day, "Buy a kayak." The answer is maybe I can't fully know, but I can hold it up against his word, and his voice never contradicts scripture. I can seek the wise counsel of a trusted friend or mentor, my husband's pastors, leaders in the church, someone who's been following God a long time. I can pray and I can ask him, is this you, God? I can ask him for more information or confirmation in prayer. And hey, why wouldn't he tell me to buy a kayak? Maybe I'm supposed to. Maybe this God. Truth is by definition the absence of lies. So God wants his voice and his truth to be the one that we learn to listen to. God wants to take the enemy's lies and replace them with his truth. And a two chairs moment is a great place to start that kind of conversation. The most important thing I believe truly is that we can do is hear the truth for our lives and our families. As mums, as parents, hearing what to do, it's so powerful. As you go home today, I really hope that you feel encouraged, challenged, maybe to set up two chairs, have a conversation with God. It's that simple. It doesn't have to look like what it looked like for me. He'll do it. He'll do his own thing with you. But in him, you'll find truth. And I know myself, a mum anchored in God's truth, whose foundations are in his love and plans, could be the absolute best legacy I leave for my children. In John 16:13, Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears from the Father, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you for the privilege and the honor that it is to sit with the Creator of the universe, the one who made us, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. That you love us so much that you would come and draw close. That we would have a safe place to share with you, to hear from you, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you're going to speak so powerfully to this church, every single one in this room, Lord. I ask you to speak to us, Father, and I ask you to help us, Holy Spirit, to be listening. Open our ears to hear your voice like never before as we seek in our hearts to follow Jesus. That's all we want, Lord. It's so simple. Putting everything else aside, we just want to follow you, Jesus, because where you're going and where you are is good. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au, or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.